When people enter into positions of leadership, they are often encouraged to seek a mentor, someone who can help to guide them along their way. People who enter the arts or sports or any number of professional careers are advised to seek a mentor to help them develop into the actor or singer, ball player or engineer, skilled worker or artist that they strive to become. I and many of my fellow seminarians years ago, during our years of formation, together sought out mentors as well. Virtually any seminary professor would serve as an ideal mentor for us aspiring leaders in ministry, but one stood out as probably the best one. Now, in seminary, we were all on a first-name basis. Whether you were a student, a professor, or even the dean, we called each other by our first names. To this day, people still call on Charlie, retired professor of pastoral theology, for advice and guidance. Charlie had served in the trenches of parish ministry for many, many years before becoming a seminary professor. This, along with God's abundant grace, greatly qualified him to be a gifted priest, professor, and mentor. He knew this about himself as well, not arrogantly by any means, but humbly and with a servant's heart. He knew that he was a valuable resource to both those entering the ministry as well as those who have served for many years. It was for this reason, I think, that a sign hung on the wall in Charlie's office. He had it set just so when you walked into the door of his office, you saw the sign hanging behind his desk that said, "No one gets in to see the wizard, not no how, not no way." Harkening back, of course, to the popular Wizard of Oz film. No one gets into the wizard, not no how, not no way. I am sure that Charlie showcased this sign out of humor, and maybe a little out of truth, because many people sought his time, and he could only give so much. When you were in Charlie's office, and you had him all to yourself, even for a moment, you listened. It was a special time, and you knew to use that time wisely. He was a voice you could trust. Maybe not what you always wanted to hear, but that's a sign of a good mentor. But you could always trust him. The wisdom, the sincerity, the experience, the guidance, and any other gift you could receive, you just cherished it. This is what a good mentor does. This is what a good leader and shepherd does. No, Charlie was not and is not the good shepherd. That's Jesus. But he, like so many others, others that you may know, who possess such a gift, when they share that gift with you, you just know it. Charlie is retired now, but still offers his advice to us, who I think will always be considered his students. In today's readings, we are presented with several times with a familiar shepherd image. The text from Revelation declares that the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And the gospel reading is all about belonging to God as sheep belong to a shepherd. Perhaps nowhere else in Scripture is the metaphor more memorable than in the beloved 23rd Psalm, which assures us that God, the shepherd, guides us, leads us, and restores us, even in the darkest of times. For the author of John, the life of Jesus is very much closely related to creation. In the opening verses of John's gospel, the prologue, it itself recounts the creation story in Genesis and regards that all things that are visible and invisible are created through the Word, that is, Christ, the beloved of God. Through Christ, God creates and sustains our lives and the life of the world. Through Christ, we are loved, redeemed, and restored to God our Father, tended to like sheep with a shepherd, protected like a mother hen's brood who places us under her wing, provided for abundantly by the Lord who multiplied loaves and fishes. We are followers of the way. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. As his sheep, as his stewards of the gift of creation, we are called therefore always to give thanks to God. Our very gathering here this morning and each Sunday as we celebrate Holy Eucharist. Eucharist literally means to give thanks. We come together each week to give thanks to God. The psalm today captures so much of this imagery, we as sheep. The psalmist even begins as the storyteller writes from the sheep's perspective. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul. The connection between us and God and creation is unmistakable. Today we give thanks to God for our lives, for this beautiful earth that we have been given, and we pray for the wisdom and will to preserve its beauty and majesty for the many generations who will come after us. Jesus said, "The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep." You see, there are other voices around us and among us. We are surrounded constantly by voices that tell us what to believe, what to buy, where we should stand, voices that tell us what is right. The gift that Professor Charlie was and is to his students was one based on profound faith and prayer and experience in many facets of ministry. His advice and guidance as a priest and professor was grounded in the voice of his shepherd, Jesus. His voice was one you could trust, as opposed to the clamor of voices surrounding us that tell us what success is, that tell us what beauty is, that tell us who our enemies are, and that tell us who we should alienate because of differing politics or whatever. These are not the voice of our shepherd, Jesus. Earlier in this gospel, Jesus refers to himself as the gate, and those who enter by him will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. All those who come before him are thieves and bandits, but the sheep do not listen to them. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. These voices that compete, I believe, with the voice of our one true shepherd bid for our loyalty on a constant basis. What are these voices? Whose voice do we listen to? As sheep of the good shepherd, we recognize the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And the shepherd's voice always, always leads us to charitable thoughts toward others, compassion for our brothers and sisters, and merciful hearts to those who do us wrong, and selfless service to others, regardless of our differences. Imagine a world like that. But then we are distracted, aren't we, from just the opposite. We are distracted from being selfless and honoring one another and the world in which we live. When terror strikes Paris or Brussels or even domestic terrorism strikes, we are so prone to react in fear. At these times, there are many voices that emerge in the aftermath. But I am always inspired by the brave citizens throughout the world who have endured such violence yet remain steadfast, not to be scared nor seek revenge, but continue on living life rather than letting evil have its way. There is darkness in the world, to be sure, but we know that there is light. John's prologue reassures us that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. We are a people of hope and healing. We are a people of light. Evil seeks to take that away from us. Evil seeks to take our hope. Evil seeks to crush our spirit. But we have seen over and over again in many disastrous and horrible incidents that take human life, whether caused by destructive storms or natural disasters, or even from a lunatic who seeks to destroy life by whatever weapon they can garner, we have seen the resilience of people, good people motivated by the goodness that God instilled in them at their birth, come to the rescue for their fellow human beings. The Bible often refers to political and religious leaders as shepherds. Moreover, it is the voice of these shepherds that lets people know their trustworthiness. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, tells us that his sheep will listen to and know his voice, not that of the hired hand. We are surrounded by so many voices, voices that mislead us, voices that do not have our best interests at heart, voices that may even confuse us. But for us, there is just one voice. God never promises that our lives will be without pain and grief. In this wonderful image of the Good Shepherd, indeed, as the Lord God as our shepherd, we are promised refreshment, comfort, unconditional love, and healing in those green pastures and still waters. And we are blessed by a faith community where we seek out God's voice through trusted friendships, worship, study, fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. Jesus promises to be our Good Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, who leads us and guides us to the wellspring of life eternal. May all of us hear the voice of our Good Shepherd, whose goodness and mercy abides all the days of our life. Amen. Thank you.